Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Club Racing UK podcast, the usual miscreants and a few extra guests this week. Now, this week, we're trying to take a bit more of a serious turn in light of what Boris Sutton announced on Monday. Not Sunday, if you did read my preview video. I did make a mistake. It was Monday that Boris was making all these announcements, not Sunday. Although, to be fair, most of it got leaked.
it was out by Sunday, wasn't it?
it was more or less always out by Sunday anyway. However, to delve into all the questions of Club Motorsport today, we've gone on a bit of a trail to make sure that everyone can listen in. So if you are watching from home today, comment in and we can read those comments out and share your concerns. So let's do the introductions first. I'm your main host, Robert Lewis. We've got the co-hosts and master debaters this evening, Stefan Marsh and Nick Holmes.
Yo.
Good evening, everybody.
He likes to keep a poker face, doesn't he? We've got two special guests and a celebrity among us this week. Of course, we've got Ian Waterhouse, our resident TV celebrity. We have Lindsay Close of Close Racing and various BRSCC championships. And we have serial winner... It runs in the family, club racing for nigh on 60 years in the Bevan family. And of course, you would have probably seen his Honda Integra somewhere on the Tin Tops grid in the past few years. It's Jonathan Bevan. Good evening, guys.
Evening, all.
Evening.
Right. So, I do have to start with the news. Okay, I know everyone wants to get into this. We're just getting the comments set up as well. Unfortunately, I can't see any at the moment, but... We were...
It's because there's nobody there. it's just us six, just chatting away.
Oh yeah, we forgot to press live, didn't we? Oh yeah.
Yeah, we forgot to press live. No, I can actually say there are people listening. I've just started to get some comments in. So Sam Pierce is watching, Matt Cleary is watching, Kaylee Twigger is watching, Andy Pointer is watching. Evening, everyone. Stefan, Stefan's too busy spamming every racing page in the country.
Good lad, Stefan.
If you're a racing page that isn't being spammed right now, get in touch.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's start off with a bit of news then. If we could just play the sexy news clip.
A little bit of wee in the end of my knob.
Every time we play that, it just doesn't. It's a good start to the show.
It's never going to get boring, ever.
It will never get boring. That was probably your best moment in the KA, Nick, apart from the 12-hour win. Now, before Boris made all of his announcements, the Time Attack, or rather Club Time Attack, made the foreseeable announcement to move the opening round at Anglesey to August the 8th. This now makes the Maybank holiday at Cadwell Park the opening round. It'll be the same for TCR, Civic Cup and the VW Cup. What do you think, guys? Good move or not?
It just has to be done, doesn't it? I think everybody was close to nigh on, you know, end of March time. It was always going to kind of look like it was going to get canned. But if they hadn't booked it, it may not have never happened. But.
Well, I guess, I suppose it's so late because they're going for all the events where spectators could be.
Yeah. Correct? Yeah, I think so. I think Anglesey, I don't know. I could be completely looking at this from the wrong angle, but from the gist of what I got, especially what happened last year, the Welsh government were a bit more stricter, weren't they? So yeah. Anglesey got affected by that. I know Pembrey certainly did. They didn't have any events at all last year. So maybe they were foreseeing that the Welsh government may not have been so sort of viable to opening everything up, especially for a big race event like Time Attack and the support races. They maybe could see some problems. So a shrewd move.
I think they were being optimistic, actually, beginning so early in the first place. I think if they were sensible, the clubs, they would have booked their first races a bit further down the line.
Yeah.
It's not also that, though. It's with club sport, you've got to consider that you kind of slot in and around everything else. Like, I found out last year that a knock-on effect from my lot in the Mazdas being cancelled was a result of the touring cars taking our slot, but they only took that slot because... What is it with the bikes? So they drive around France and things? Tour de France. The Tour de France took the slot. The thing on the bike. Unless it's with an engine, I don't really care. so it's all about the TV as well. So when they can fit it in, so you've got to balance everything. It's not just, oh, let's just go here because the date's free.
Yeah, well, but they all knew this year that they could book later. I know that they were all getting, everyone has a book for the slots at the beginning of the year. And they all, you know, they could have all sort of looked at it a bit more sensibly and, you know, just a bit more sensible, I would say.
Yeah, I think to be honest as well, the other thing to look at calendars, like you said, Lindsay, the touring cars, let's be honest, the touring cars are kings. They bring the TV. So if they go, we're going to have that weekend at that circuit, they're going to go, okay, fine. You know, when there's hundreds of thousands of people watching on the telly, it's...
Yeah, exactly. And like the fans, hopefully, we were looking at this year being able to come back. Obviously, within moderation as the year goes on, we'll see. But it's also they bring in the most amount of money for that venue to then succeed with the later clubs and things. So you've got to put it in. It sounds awful, but it is a business. So they've got to look at it that way. And also, with starting so early in March, I know a lot of the sort of talking points behind the scene was, how do we make this viable for club spots so we don't outprice them? Because if you try and ram it all into this amount of time instead of this amount of time, no one's going to be able to afford it.
I could get that as well. I mean, the cost element of it and everything we'll probably move on to later. You guys have got the script, so you know what's coming. Certainly, Ian's put his fees up this year. Now he's a TV megastar, but we'll move forward from that.
No, there's a couple of extra zeros. Competitively priced, always.
Okay, guys. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to move on to a bad bit of news, but we have got two bits of good news to make up for it. But we'll start with Taunton and Bridgwater College, that was sadly devastated by a fire that absolutely ripped through their college motorsport and motorcycle workshop. Unfortunately, at this early stage, it does look like it's being treated as arson. But a GoFundMe page has been set up with £11,500 raised so far out of a 20 grand target. So I know if it's tight there with COVID, but if you have even 20, 30 quid, just go on to GoFundMe. I think it's RJ Motorsport. Or just type in Taunton and Bridgwater College Fire. There is a GoFundMe page on there, and just donate what you can. They need it. As well as the students there, they've got commercial arms that are supporting undergraduates and getting these people into motorsport. So the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. And hopefully they catch a little scrope that started it.
We'll post a link up.
Have they got them?
I believe so. They said on the news earlier today that somebody was held in custody for the arson of it.
Bloody hell, I missed that one. I was looking on the internet earlier as well.
Bloody hell, Rob missed some news, everyone.
The news man missed the news.
I know.
At least someone's done their research.
I was going to say, I was trying to do my research up until the last minute and something slipped through. So consider this my formal apology. And from that, we're going to move
on every podcast from now on for me.
Yeah, introducing the new host of the Club Racing UK podcast.
Just a new section.
Yeah, just a new section.
Well, I don't know. That's strike one, Rob. Yeah. Three strikes and you're out, boy.
What's that, strike one? Yeah.
Well, just for the record, it wouldn't be too hard to Photoshop Lindsay's face over yours. You've got similar hairstyles.
Yeah. Hang on. Okay, this is the bald man taking the piss out of the man with loads of hair. I see the irony in this. Right, let's move on to some good news, shall we? Let's move on to some good news. And the good news is Cadwell Park have got both their cars back. They've recovered the safety.
Yes!
So a massive shout out. You know, to be honest, the police get an absolute hammering at times, especially on this world of keyboard warriors.
Have those suspects been caught?
Yes, three of them.
Excellent. Yeah, three of them. They have.
Did you know that, Rob?
I did, yes, I did. I did, but a big shout out especially to Lincolnshire and Derbyshire police, and let's hope the three scrotums get a good slap.
Can I just say, Rob, talking of hair, Phil commented saying, quick question, will Ian / Johnny Bravo be able to fit in the TV frame with that quick? Trying to grow
Johnny
it.
Bravo.
Patrick, I'm trying to grow it.
Oh yeah.
Cheers for that, mate.
Oh yeah. Like it. To be honest, right, the Club Racing UK page has a lot of comments on there. So before we move on to the next bit of news, so We say good evening to Stacey Dennis, to Craig Abbott. Good evening. Matt Cleary has come. God, hope I can come watch. I hope you're not talking about Nick's next video because that was disturbing. Phil Neal joins us. Duncan Harris says, hi, don't knock Masters tonight. You have the boss with you. We'll try not to. Lindsay, we'll try not to. I can't promise
great,
anything.
Great series, the Masters. I have to say, actually, Lindsay, we met last year at Donington, didn't we? And a huge amount of fun.
You know what?
Thank you.
One thing I'd like to say about the Masters is I don't think there is enough of them. I think there needs to be more Mazda race cars.
No, we've got a new championship this year, and I swear, I'm like, I'm getting older. I can't be doing all this running. It's not for me. It's not for the faint-hearted. Especially a year after COVID. Somebody is needing to fund me for an electric scooter. All I can say.
A first on Club Racing UK. We're not going to try and get Nick a drive. We're going to try and get Lindsay a scooter, ladies and gentlemen. That's the next campaign that we're going to be running.
Because otherwise it's going to be this thing. This little thing here.
You ruined it.
Oh, you look tight now.
That
I know, this is funny. Sorry, I do apologise. This is my son's car garage, and this is his newly formed tool kit to basically fix all his cars. Not that I'm trying to bring them in young or anything.
Start the murder.
Just for the I thought that was Mike's little tight car.
I like that. Fair play. I like that. Right, back to some comments. Paul Harvey, evening, chaps. Will Rob Lewis be Clio Cup champ? Oh, yeah, it's a sim series. We're going to the penultimate... final round next week, and I'm 6 points behind Graham. Hopefully, I'll win it. Fingers crossed.
No, he's gonna bottle it and stick it straight into the grass.
That's pretty much what happened the last two rounds, but I came back strong. Anyway... Nick Underwood, nice to see Holmes with some clothes on for once. Well, the 3-day ban should help with that. Otherwise, if you go on to OnlyFans and type in Club Racing UK, I'm sure there'll be some grotty content that he's done there.
Some of the social media may be hindered slightly because some of the accounts run through Nick. But because of his ban, we can't run some of the Club Racing UK accounts. So we're seeing 3 days being...
My bad. Look.
There we go, guys.
Hey, I was doing it for a good cause.
Yeah.
For oddballs, you know.
And then you got naked.
We got our stuff. Putting out a good message. It did the right thing. I just wasn't expecting to get banned.
To be honest, with the amount of crap you see floating about on Facebook, you would think something, okay, it's a little bit risque, but if you're doing something for a good reason... You would think the guy I assume it's a bloke that's looking over all the posts, going, oh, he's doing it for whatever. Just, no, it's probably some random robot that goes, ah, he's naked. I'll get rid of it.
But you didn't actually show anything.
No.
They even sent me today their guidelines. And when you read them, I don't break any of them. I do not have female nipples or breasts. Or I'm not going to go into everything, but. You didn't see anything, but hey, well. So if anyone wonders why I've been quiet in the next couple of days, it's because I'm in Facebook jail.
Fantastic. Paul Harvey, Johnny Bevan's DC5 is an absolute weapon. So there we go. You've got an admirer already there, John. Mario Neofitu and Dan Willars joins us as well. And Andrew Banthorpe and Kelly Dan. Join us as well. Good evening, everyone. Right, the last bit of news before we get into the nitty-gritty of today's various subjects.
Oh, nitty-gritty.
Nitty-gritty, I love that word. And that is that this stupid VNUC agreement, if I've said it right, has officially been scrapped in the UK. The Department for Transport have confirmed that it has taken the necessary steps to exempt the UK and consequently UK motorsport from the implications of the EU Motor Insurance Directive. Met by enormous relief in the UK motorsport. Basically, Stefan, he's looking quite quizzically. Was it a Slovenian guy, a Slovakian guy, got run over by a tractor? Went to the High Court, won lots of money, lots of lawsuits. The EU went, I know, we'll put this directive in, and it effectively is screwing motorsport. Because the Europeans have still got to deal with it.
It was anything, wasn't it? Anything motor-related.
Yeah.
You know, motorsport crash, you'd have to claim like you would have done and a normal road accident.
Yeah, so effectively you could go down to Clay Pigeon, clash with another car, and you would have to be insured for that. It's just bonkers. It's just bonkers.
If you go and race at Spa, say, like with the CSCC, does that still affect? I think there's something still going on where it's still a problem in Europe. Is that right?
From what I can read, I think the FIA are actively getting involved in Europe because they see it as an issue in European motorsport, especially with the club events. And I mean, at a place like Spa, you know, these European tracks don't have as much. I don't know. They don't have the richness of the support from other championships to keep them going, apart from the likes of track days and club racing that come to. So, I don't know. Hopefully, the FIA do something there. Otherwise, you might see European circuits decimated.
It's just ridiculous. We all sign that little disclaimer at the beginning of a race weekend, just saying you are putting your hands up. If shit hits the fan, it's on you. That's why we do it. I know it sucks. Mm. Don't get me wrong. For someone who crashed into my car, I'd love to be able to go, oi, you, pay for the damage. But if we all did that, motorsport would be gone. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they are a bit dodgy in Europe because I raced at Spa years ago and I came into the pit lane in the middle of the race and there was a woman with a pooter and a baby in it. And that was nearly an accident. So I would like to have been insured at that point.
Jesus. Pescara Productions. You say that, Jonathan. Pescara Productions. VNUC would have gone down beautifully in the banger racing community. Exactly.
Have you had an accident in the last 2 minutes during your race?
2 minutes, 99
Call this
years.
Number.
Oh,
exactly. Exactly. Maxine Nichols joins us. Martin Smith. I'll tell you what, guys. It's busy tonight. They all want to hear what's going to be said tonight.
It's because you've hyped everyone up, Rob.
Well, I thought I'd do a short little video just going, look, we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. Come and join us. Put your opinion across and try and be nice about it.
We're going to stir that proverbial pot, aren't we? We're going to stir the pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to get the spoons out now. So, okay. Well, first of all, Nick actually messaged me a few days ago, just on Monday morning, actually, because you watched the Motorsport UK Night of Champions, didn't you, Nick? And you weren't impressed.
I think this needs to be the first spoon. So if everyone, if you could all grab a spoon. I don't know about you guys. Now, don't get me wrong. For anyone who did watch the Motorsport UK Awards Night ceremony, it's usually a big do, a big gala do, and et cetera, et cetera. And it recognises UK motorsport. Did anyone else see the distinct lack of anything club-level related?
There was a Vauxhall Corsa on it.
Yeah, doing an auto test. I get,
yeah, I know.
Granted,
that's what I thought. In the middle of a grass field.
Yeah, granted, it is club-level. It's auto-testing, auto-solos. I get that. But there was not 1 ounce of what we do, club-level motorsport. And it pissed me off, quite frankly. I think for what, how much we do, and not we, but what everybody does, you know, Lindsay organising BRSCC stuff, you know, there was no mention of any clubs, any circuits, nothing. So
in the middle of a very troubled year.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, again, don't get me wrong, the people that were on there were probably deserved winners. I was genuinely a little bit pissed off. So next year, because I believe they did bring a thing out to vote for a certain club or, you know, this, that and the other, we're going to absolutely boycott that and Club Racing UK are going to win every award.
Yeah, every award. We're never going to beat the Bugatti owners club or whatever it was.
Why not, Stefan? Dream big. Big, mate.
This is
the Club Racing UK Award 2021 are going to be the big thing.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, like I said, the people that won the awards were well deserving for what they've done. But I considering Motorsport UK are meant to be the guys that promote all motorsport in the UK,
Yeah, but they don't do enough at club level. Not even in that award ceremony.
I mean, how much club level rallying was in it? How much club level rallycross was in it?
Tiny amount, but there was more than the circuit stuff. A little bit of club rallycross, a few rally stage Irish rally stage you know, bits like that. But I was genuinely disappointed, really, considering it was such a shit year of everything. You'd think they would have put a bit more effort in, but hey-ho, that is why we're here. So we will just keep promoting club-level motorsport for everybody, for the masses. Let's have it.
Well, others are disappointed too. Scott Woodworth was disappointed that the Caterham 7 UK Championship, which has now got British national status, wasn't even mentioned. There's another one that joins in it.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, like I say, I'm not saying, obviously, Club Racing UK should have been on there. It's clubs like that that have got, you know...
The 750 Motor Club, the BRSCC, BARC, MSVR, they've all got MSVR. Multiple championships, 10 to 20 championships
exactly that
have license holders in them. And we all pay license fees to go towards Motorsport UK because that's meant to be the body.
We're the biggest contributors towards it. I guarantee club level motorsport, what we cover, is the biggest contributor to why now Motorsport UK are getting a fancy new office in Bicester. I don't have a bloody office. Where's my office?
Alton's Park.
That's a good point.
There is that. There is that. There is, yes, I do have an office there.
That's a good point.
That's our office.
Yeah, just
sorry.
While these two have a domestic dispute and Nick's blood pressure goes down a little bit, let's go back to some comments because it is quite busy.
I'm getting a bit warm. I'm not going to lie.
It's all right, mate. Have a glass of water. You'll be fine. Just take the hat off.
I am.
Right, Craig Albert joins us. Good evening, mate. Chris Mayhew, Neil Ashcroft. I'm just here for Jonathan Bevan. We're good people as well. Stay for the banter. It's all part of it. Cameron T joins us. Ben Neil Robinson joins us. Welcome back, Ben. We haven't seen you on for a while, actually. Pescara Productions, not been like that for a while, sadly. It's like how the FIA only give a damn about Formula One. Kind of, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Vic Hope, Jonathan, you've been asked to cheer up. Andy Poynter. Andy Poynter comments, once a court has set a precedent, it's easy to successfully prosecute. Hence, business settle out of court. Good job, sense has prevailed. I think that's to do with the VNUP agreement. Yeah, it absolute clusterfuck that would have been if that had come in. So, yeah, that's the good news. VNUP is out. Simon Hughes, no one's got an office right now, Nick. Suppose a home office would count. Although, to be fair, you two use yours quite regularly anyway, don't you, sir?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have no idea who you're talking to. Waved your pen around all over the gap.
Both of you.
All of you have offices.
all of you have offices, damn you. exactly.
Well, actually, me and Steph can vouch for the fact that we were definitely not in our office this morning, were we, Steph?
No.
Right.
I don't think people want to know about.
But no one needs to. No one needs to know what we get on. No.
Fantastic. Right, okay, let's move on to some more topics on today's debates. We're going to carry on with a number of topics, but effectively what this show is going to be about is the announcements that have been made and how things are going to be affected in Club British Motorsport this year and the years to come. So, we have a roadmap.
Yay, racing!
There we go. The roadmap is out. But first of all, we have had the guests on for a while, so we're just going to come over to you two quickly and talk about you two. So, Jonathan Bevan.
Hello.
He sits there quite nervous. So, you race in the Classic and Modern Motorsport South with the Honda Integra DC5.
I do. I often say I'm a better mechanic than I am a driver, but I do have a go at driving every now and again.
Look at that car. Beautiful. So,
in fairness, I nearly sold it at Christmas, and I had to make an apology because the guy I sold it to, I backed out at the last moment because my dad's so in love with the car. He said to me, "Oh, I don't want to sell it." And I said, "All right, I'll keep it so we can go racing for another year."
Okay.
Now you are a
the
bit.
The one thing that people may not realise is, so you are the grandson of George Bevan, who built the four British touring car winning imps.
Yeah, that's correct.
Was it four separate imps or was it the same car?
No, we had four cars originally. It was probably more, it's a bit of a mystery, but we'll say four, which makes it easy. And then obviously he did three British Touring Car Championships, and that's the car that I now own, and I've just restored myself. So, yeah, it's hopefully, I've actually rebuilt it in COVID, and I'm waiting to go testing with it. As it's a touring car, I could be a, you know, an elite team, couldn't I, go testing with that right now? But I think I'll withdraw from that one. So that's the little imp, which is tucked away in the corner of the garage for until we can get it out to play this year.
There we go.
Very pretty looking car.
To be fair, you are rather involved with the CMMC Southern sort of behind the scenes, aren't you?
Yeah, like, I like to support it because, you know, I mean, like, if you look at championships, years ago, it was always regional. And nowadays, we've got this thing where everyone's crossing the country. You know, we've all discussed it before, championships taking different cars to different places. And I'm a great believer. I live 10 minutes from Brands Hatch, and it costs a fortune to go racing. And I know what it costs to go all over the country. We've done it. We spent a lot of money doing it. And so my remit is every time a championship turns up to Brands, I want to race in that championship. And, you know, sometimes we have to punch above our weight with the car we've got. But other times, you know, it's just nice to meet different people and race in different championships. But, you know, I get criticised, well, why don't you take the car to Silverstone or go all over the country? But ultimately, it's time and money and the reason that, you know, why I keep it at Brands.
10 minutes from Brands, man. Do you know how far away I am from Brands? 11 hours.
I'd say I go to Brands probably three times.
Where are you, Lindsay? South of France?
No, I am an hour and 45 minutes north of Croft. Yeah. Costs a lot to go to Brands. Yeah, that is a consideration.
Yeah, no, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I meet my dad at Brands probably a couple of times a week when we were allowed. My dad lives up there, apparently, if you talk to all his friends. And it's just nice to be able to go in there and, you know, there's always someone there I know. So, and for me, it's the greatest circuit in the country because if you're a spectator, which is what, you know, we want, it's one of the only circuits you can go and sit in the grandstand and basically see 80% of the circuit. And, you know, I've been to Donington and watched racing, you know, Rod's driven my car. He comes past and I think, well, that's 10 seconds. What's happening? Don't know. And then he comes round again. And, you know, it's so for me, that's why I love Brands, because you can just see the racing there. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And close racing might be something that's attributed quite closely to our second guest, Lindsay. So you see how I tied in that? That was very good.
Very good, Rob.
Nice swift transition there.
I'm in with the singers tonight, don't you worry. So I would describe you as a multiple championship coordinator. Do you get bored or something? You just like doing a lot of things.
No, I was given one gift and it is multitasking. That right. is it. I can handle a hell of a lot of different projects, like, for example, TV presenting, but I am nowhere near the level that Ian is by any means. In fact, I could definitely do a few lessons.
Don't big his head anymore.
You must be pretty low down there then.
Practically rock bottom, mate.
I was actually there to get pictures of you, actually, Lindsay, at Donington. That's what I was there for.
Oh, thank you. But no, yeah, I do. So I started out in the BRCC Mazda MX-5 Championship, which is the Mark 1s, which we have close to probably about 60 to 90 drivers every year. Then I started helping out with the BRCC Mazda Super Cup, which is the next level, because it's the Mark 3s. It's the bigger, badder car. And then we've just started a new one, which is the BRCC Mazda... I'm going to get the name wrong, and I'm so sorry to anybody watching, but it's like the club one, which is like everything great about the Mark 1s, but in a one day. And
it's
I've just started a new...
Clubman Cup, isn't it? Clubman Cup.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting this year. Ooh. And then the only other thing... What?
Oh, Rob's got your back there.
but I've started a new... Like, I always call them, like, they were my Mazda babies, but now I've got like my City Car Cup babies. So that's a new one coming for its first full proper championship this year. So that's the City Car Cup, which I'm so excited about. So yeah. And then on top of all of that, my main love is running Close Racing. So yeah, I do a multitude of different things, but you know, keeps me taking over.
Which Close Racing would be running multiple MX5s on top of that, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So I basically do all of the paddock, all 600 and odd people, and then come back and go, right, now who needs dinner? Because I haven't even had my lunch yet, but I'll make you guys dinner. Don't worry. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Fantastic. And I don't need to introduce you to our third guest because, of course, you've seen him on the telly. It's Ian Waterhouse from My Supercar.
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure, chaps. Always a pleasure.
Of course, My Supercar Productions actually produce this show, so we're going to rant and rave about them all the time because they are the best thing since sliced bread, let's be honest. They've done a lot for Club Motorsport over the past year. So what we have here for today's, I say it's a debate, it's going to be a discussion because you three are very much involved deep within Club Motorsport, whether it's media, championship organisation, racing yourself. But it's different parts of that club racing spectrum. And of course, the lads at the top, all three of us are going racing this year, aren't we? So I would like to think that today's discussions, we would be able to give a nice balanced view or just get the spoon out and stir it like Nick likes to.
No filter, Rob. Hashtag no filter.
Hashtag no filter.
Hashtag no filter. We should just add as well, obviously, us six are here chatting about it. But again, guys, keep the comments coming in and we'll get across to any of them. If there's anything that you want to discuss after this roadmap is announced or where you see yourselves going, just drop them in the comments. And one of us, not me, because I'm on my phone, but one of the boys will pick it up and we'll discuss it. That's what tonight's about. Get your view out.
Yeah.
What have you.
And as well, if there's any topic that you feel wants to be discussed that you really care about and you feel affects the club racer, there is a post that Nick has very kindly tagged at the top of the paddock page on the Club Racing UK group. So if you feel there's a topic that wants to be discussed, there's a poll up there that people have voted for. I've taken those polls and I'm going to write scripts for them. So they're going to be looked at. I'll do my research. Yeah. I'll potentially get select people on as guests to talk about their view because... Mm-hmm. It's an initiative from us this year as the podcast. We want to give back to you and we want to help you get your viewpoint across. You yes. guys are the reason Club Racing exists. We all are. So if we work together, yeah. we can get shit done. Simple. So, Monday, not Sunday, Boris sat in Parliament and said that motorsport can resume on the 29th of March. He actually said those words.
Good lad, Bojo.
He said, Mr. Speaker, motorsport can resume under the entrance 29th of March.
La-di-da-di-da, so, yeah. By the way. La-di-da-di-da. That's a shit splitter.
La-di-da-di-da, by the way, Nick home to get naked in my house anyway. He rants about my splitter, but he can't wait to race my car. Anyway. Yes,
to destroy your splitter.
What?
Yeah.
Boris Johnson or me?
Both. I've got Boris in for the middle rounds.
I can see the marshals using your splitter as a shovel at Paddock Hill.
Yeah, no, it's Surtees. Surtees. So motorsport is resuming on the 29th of March, but I did actually read earlier on that hotels, you can't stay in a hotel for motorsport reasons until the 17th of May.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I thought it was the 12th of April.
No, if you want to stay in a hotel because you're away doing motorsport, May 17th.
It's not just hotels because you can't actually camp either. So you can't actually go and turn up to the circuit with your motorhome and actually stay overnight either, can you?
So that kind of falls
right. Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely spot on that. Yeah.
So, Lindsay, from an organiser's point of view, is that going to be chaotic because you're going to have to put in championships as a one-day thing only?
I can't comment on that, to be honest, because I'm not that senior. It's not my issue. And bless, it's down to the lovely people above me. I'm just going to skip that one right around.
Whoosh. Can I just get one point in? And I'm hoping this will cover a lot of the things we're going to talk about. I must say, although they were like Motorsport March 29th, bang, there is still a lot of confusion about what people can, can't do. I think, Jonathan, you brought something up earlier in the WhatsApp group, which we'll cover in a minute, obviously, regarding testing. So even though we've got this roadmap of this day we're doing this, this day we're doing that, blah, blah, there's still a lot of confusion going on, guys.
I don't think there's any confusion. I actually think that people are just making the rules bend and do what they want to do as they want to do it, making it suit for them, you know, and testing. I'm not going there. You can go there and wind me up a bit and then I'll follow. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, we've been through a pandemic and people should respect that we're trying to come out of a pandemic and there are things in order which are important. And I shouldn't think that motor racing to 99.9% of the public is that important. But, you know, I'll just play by the rules and follow what's got to be done, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, to be honest, Jonathan, because we need to have the retrospective. Yes, we all love racing. Yes, we're getting to go racing. But we're so lucky we still get to go racing. And people didn't understand this last year and the very few events we got to go to. We are lucky enough to be there. Don't make it harder than it needs to be.
Well, that's, we'll tell you what, we'll cover this now. We'll bring it forward. So professional testing before March 29th. So, Jonathan, you said to us quite rightly that there have been a number of videos going around. I've seen one of a TCR car out testing at Donington Park, a few Caterhams, Ginettas. So, and
I'll start by saying I could have paid £700 2 weeks ago to go testing at I won't pick a circuit because not fair, and I'll never get testing ever again. And ultimately, with it is it was for elite sportsmen and professional teams. Now, you know, I mean, it just depends what side of the fence you sit on, really, with this COVID issue. If you're the side where you're getting an injection and you're having nanotechnology put in you and you're all going to die, then you're going to go motor racing tomorrow. But the sensible people in my eyes who, you know, are staying at home, as we're told, doing the correct and the right thing, you know, I mean, I'll wait. You know, I mean, I'm not bothered whether I go testing now, next week or in May, because nothing's going to happen racing-wise. So what's the point of it? You know, one team, I think, going to Spain, I think. Yeah? So when you look at it, and I'm not saying they, and it's very questionable if you pay a lot of money for a race drive, whether you're an elite driver.
Yeah, I mean, Motorsport UK did release a statement on the 3rd of February. It's been brought to the attention of Motorsport UK that holders of competition licenses are participating in testing at a variety of UK venues, and in some instances, there is a reliance on the holding of that license in order to claim elite status. Subsequent to the above, Motorsport UK reminds license holders of the following. The UK is still in national lockdown and national restrictions, so you're only meant to go locally anyway. Restrictions are enforced throughout the UK and stipulate that travel outside your local area is not permitted except for an exempt purpose.
CSCC said in an email today, they sent out to every member, they basically said that, don't quote me, you're breaking the law if you go testing, and they don't condone it and they don't want anything to do with it because they don't want it brought back onto the club.
You are, aren't you? We're all on national lockdown. You're only allowed to go out to work if you can't work from home, and you're allowed out for an hour's exercise. Now, I'm not a professional racing driver, but testing for 1 hour doesn't constitute as exercise.
Professional or elite?
You know what I'm saying.
When you book onto this test and you say I'm professional, what have you got to prove?
I would hope. I mean, I have seen people actually saying as well on social media, apparently there is a list. Okay, Nick, yeah. Okay, there is going to be an element of money involved. But to me, an elite motorsport team in the UK would be any Formula One team, British Touring Cars, the British Touring Car Championship only. The support packages, it's a grey area because, let's be honest, Stefan can go out tomorrow and buy a Ginetta GT5 and enter the Ginetta GT5 Championship and effectively join that championship on the Toka package. Nick could go out and buy a mini challenge car, JCW, and go out testing that car as an elite championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
I could roll £40,000 to go and test the touring car. It's all relevant. That's the thing with it, is it's a money sport. And if you look at touring cars when they, you know, they're on, they call it the show. So, you know, it's sort of, I just think you've got to do the right thing. That's what it comes down to. And people need to do the right thing. Otherwise, we're all going to be sitting here in August, all in lockdown still.
Yeah.
Okay. So the people that the people that are organising these testing, does that money, do they not need that money to keep themselves afloat? I'm not saying it's right, but if you could make 40 grand for someone testing a car at your track for the day.
Yeah,
but not if it's breaking the not if it's illegal, you know, hairdressers need to make money, don't they? It's six or one half
of
Yeah, there you go. Stefan, you've nailed it. If you're a hairdresser, you should be allowed to cut the hair of an elite sports people.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, like,
racing license.
I mean, yeah, Ryan Falconbridge has put again so many grey areas regarding testing. And to be honest, with the guidelines, there have been a lot of grey areas that people, and we're not just talking about motorsport here. I know it can be frustrating for a lot of people. There have been times where there has been a little bit of grey and people just want black and white. So, and let's be honest, in the motorsport, I mean, Tom Walkinshaw was the best for it. If there was a grey area, he could exploit that. It's the same in any motorsport. No. People are going to exploit that little grey area, Rosie. You know.
Had a comment from
they're going to push it.
From All Square, who's saying that he's got a professional test at Donny on the 18th. Due to that as an FIA championship, but the club series test he was due to go to on the 6th of April was cancelled.
So, but again, what do you class? Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, Phil Neal says about British touring car testing, unless you're a team hard driver, because the car's still in bits being built. But he's got a point, though. There's still bloody body shells. There's not long to go either. But yeah, I mean, no. it's Martin Cully, teams and tracks earning money as a professional. So I suppose if, I mean, I see an elite racing driver as someone that is paid to drive.
Well, that's them all out the window.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, unless maybe Colin Turkington, maybe Tom Elephant, as paid manufacturer drivers.
If you looked at it that way, you've got F1, World Endurance, Rally, you know, but touring cars is not, you pay to drive the car. So, it's just questionable, and I just think that some people just say, do the right thing, and you know hand on heart if you're doing the right thing or not.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? Is with as much as there is that grey area. I mean, Rob, going on the whole black and white and grey, if they said black and white, dude, people would still moan. People would still
push boundaries. Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's human nature to just push your luck. It just is. I think Jonathan, you're right in the fact that you've just got to do. We've all got to sit there and go, look, I want to still be racing in August, September, October, November. If we all just do this right, and not just racing, I want to be able to go to the cinema. I want to go to theme parks. I want to do all of that. And we've all just got to be like, got to stop thinking about I and start thinking about we, really, haven't we?
But we can't do overnight stays.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You make a point there, Nick, because if anything, I'm coming out of motorsport now, is if anything, the past year and a half has kind of showed to me, in my opinion, that we're a bunch of selfish fuckers, but as a race. But, yeah, but let's just move on from that.
But in a roundabout way, for everyone who's been locked away in their houses for months and months and months, as soon as you get a sniff that you can go to the pub with your mates, fuck, you're going to be gone. Because, I don't know about you, everyone's going mental stuck at home. It's shit. So if there's an opportunity to get out, then people are going to go out.
John, you've gone mute. Your mic's gone. We can't hear you.
No. I said, imagine... Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah, you're back.
If they opened the pubs and said only the elite few can go to the pub, right? And everyone else, you'd have World War III in your hands. So, and it's only the same thing for people like, you know, we all love racing. And it's like standing at the gates watching people go round and think, well, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's open the pubs, but only celebrities can go.
Only banks can go.
Yeah.
Well, we're certainly getting that wooden spoon out. Let's go back to some comments before the volcanoes start to erupt. Mick Palmer, Croft have changed their testing on March 17th, 18th for the usual pre-season British Touring Car test. Even with that change, they're running sessions for single-seaters on day two. Yeah, I suppose, well, single-seaters, they have got Formula 4 testing, which is an FIA championship, so that might be why.
Do you know what, as I can moan about, it's like, if you look at, I'm going to be really careful. Jeanetta Juniors, would you take the kid out in the middle of a pandemic, to go testing, for example? And, you know, I mean, it's an age thing as well. I know they're less at risk, but we are in the middle of, well, not in the middle, we're hopefully at the end of it. It's just about being sensible, and some of these people don't need to be there.
Should I stop? No, that's fine. I've actually got a really, really good long comment from Martin Smith. So he's in Saudi Arabia at the moment. He's working with Formula E. Clearly, this is an elite sport. The only reason it can happen is because they spend a fortune on making it COVID secure. I had my third COVID test today out of the sixth we have to do in total just to get in the venue. We now need three more when we get back into the country. So pro motorsport can make it work. And it works because someone else is footing the bill to keep it super safe. The problem is, it simply isn't sustainable for club motorsport. So as much as I want to get racing as the next man, we must simply need to be patient. Club racing is in a difficult no man's land at the moment. Fair play. I mean, Formula E have the backing and they'll have the money put aside to make it COVID safe. So, fair play to you, Mark.
Is that the rule, guys? Is that the rule? You have to be an FIA official championship to be classed as elite?
Well, I don't know.
You know what the rule is?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
who's footing the bill for the team's testing?
It's a fortune.
Yeah.
They're paying doctors.
It was absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
Is it?
But then again...
I agree with...
At least they're doing
I agree with the fact that it's got to be COVID safe. I agree with that. I'm not saying rock up, test, flaunt it around, you know. But I'm pretty sure we've all been around this COVID business long enough now to know the things to do to be COVID secure. Yes, you know, doing six tests while you're there, doing all these tests. I get that. But... you know, we can all be COVID safe and still go racing. We'll still go testing. But
it's not actually within our nature, because I tested a car, I think, after lockdown 2 last year at Brands. And I turned up, you know, expecting 2, 3, 4 people. There must have been 12 people in the garage. And when you look at that, we're just not disciplined enough. And I would say myself, I haven't got that discipline. I'm not funny. When we go racing, 20 people come along. Do you know what I mean? And to me, if I can't have all my 20 people come along, friends, whatever, come along, it's not no point going racing. You know, it's not being there with me and, you know, someone else. That's it.
And again, it's the age old argument as well. I mean, Vic Cope said, if you went testing on your own, do you think you're putting anybody at risk? No, I don't think it's so much about putting people at risk of actual COVID, because the vaccines are in, they're working, they're starting to change the figures on hospitalisation. Again, this is another factor moving forward. More people are getting vaccinated. So effectively, it's stopping the NHS getting overwhelmed. But it's the fact that these are the laws set out. These are the rules. And you look at the human nature of thing. You look at certain people going testing and going, well, hang on a minute, they're not an elite sportsman, but they're in an elite car, Carrera Cup car or something, whatever, but why are they going? Why can't I take my Honda Civic and go up the road and stuff like that? So
Yeah, but then that brings out another issue, doesn't it? If, oh, he's doing it, I'm going to do it. And then if he's doing it, this person over here is going to do it. And
I think the problem is you've got to draw the line somewhere, haven't you? But it doesn't seem to be, nobody knows where the line is. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think it's down to the circuit to actually put this in place and say you're not an elite person. And but they're the gatekeepers. They take your money, and when they take the money, they know what license you've got. They know what series you're racing. You know, it's all on. I won't say. I don't mention any names, but it's all on their website. When you log in, you tell them what car you've got. You know what series you're racing, and you know, they've got the information, but they've taken the money, and so they're as complicit in my eyes as anyone else turning up and doing if they are breaking the law, allegedly. Mm.
Yeah, but again, as you'll see later on, a few of those circuits potentially are looking at the balance books at the moment and going, shit, and there's potentially less help in sight. A couple of comments just quickly. Mario Neofitu, I think everyone needs to put things in perspective and be sensible. Not so we can go out to the pub, etc., but just so the NHS can return back to normal, for cancer treatment to continue, to be able to see a GP, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Great 100%. Point. And that's the bigger picture, isn't it? That's the bigger thing, really.
Yeah, that's it. But then that said, no, it doesn't matter if you're an elite. If you're an elite racing driver, you should, even they should be going, oh, actually, I should probably sit this one out. Everyone should.
If they're elite, like we said with Formula E, that they're spending thousands of pounds to make sure it's secure. They're not doing that for testing at the minute at circuits in the UK, are we, as far as we're aware?
Yeah,
I do that, but it still spreads around. It's like Formula One, isn't it? How much money must have they spent on COVID secure, and then Lewis Hamilton
got COVID. Yeah.
Well, Sergio got COVID. Panic got it, didn't
limiting they? Risk, but it's still adding to it. Bigger picture.
Yeah.
People outside of their homes.
If you've got to travel, you've got to travel, haven't you? You know, the venue might be COVID secure, but you've got to get there.
Yeah.
Pescara actually put, you have to ask why some tracks are doing it when some received a grant last year. The independent tracks weren't listed as receiving this year. MSVR venue, I think, did. We'll actually come across to that, Phil, because I believe MSVR didn't receive it. And there's a little bit, it's something that's niggling me at the moment about that. We did talk about it a bit last week, but I want to emphasise on that because it's pissed me off, to be honest. Mario Neofitu, Jonathan is spot on, talking complete sense. Chris Mayhew, if tracks open up for testing, the teams will turn up. If tracks don't check if they are elite teams, then they're the responsible party. There we go.
As you say, they're the gatekeepers. They're the people letting them into their venue.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess Johnny Bravo's worried about the bills being paid, but not Johnny. I've got Ian on the mind now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before we come to the elephant in the room that is the...
Stop it, Rob. Stop it.
Before we come to the elephant in the room that is the prices going up, we want to talk about, actually, how COVID has actually affected the little things in club racing, what we had to do last year, and what potentially could change moving forward. Things like, in endurance racing, we had to sanitise during the pit stops. The pit stops were longer. Being in the paddocks, certain people in the garage at one time, masks, everything like that. So just on that front, how do you think that's going to go?
I think it'll just follow the guidelines.
I think it'll continue as it was.
I think once they hit that, I can't remember the date, someone in June when you can go out and do whatever you want pretty much again. I think then some of the hygiene, disinfecting the car and stuff like that, that'll be gone, I reckon, but up until that point, I think it would just be following the rules with masks and all the rest of it still.
Yeah,
I think it actually improved. I mean, if you look at scrutineering, you know, the worst thing about going racing for me or something is queuing up for half hour in your car at scrutineering bay to sit there for them to have a quick look at your shoes and everything else and say, on your way. And, like, the declarations we're now doing, they're far better. And at the end of the day, if you don't fill out your declaration correctly and you're caught out, you should have your license penalised and you should take a fine. And that way, you know, it's a bit of a waste of time, really. You know, I mean, I always get in my car and I think I've got to drive it up there. The clutch is going to overheat because they're going up the hill at Brands. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do it. And then it's just one of those things. And the cars now, they're getting better. They could be inspected at the beginning of the year. They know what they are. And the scrutiny is going to have a look at them for safety. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean,
Sorry, go on.
No, the only thing, because the comments are coming in already, but if you guys do have a chance, to, especially just because you mentioned scrutineering, Autosport had released a column talking about we should ditch the electronic scrutineering, and I thought, why?
Mm. No, I think... I think that the obviously going on with the scrutineering, there's a lot more things that have come almost up to modern age, in essence. Like, it's kind of forced the companies and the championships to sort of, sorry, not championships, the official programs to basically relook at their system and go, right, how can we make this more efficient? How can we make this better? How can we make this even, like, for the drivers to take more responsibility and not just turn up and go, oh, well, I paid that team to do it. They're responsible. No, you're responsible. You're in that car. You're the one that goes on track. Let's get it all sorted. And I think it's great, like, the way that drivers have to sign on online. That's amazing. They have to know that their fire extinguisher is in date, their seat is in date, their seat belts are in date. It's something that they should know anyway, but there was this blissful sort of environment where you're like, oh, it'll be fine. The teams do that.
Yeah.
So it's really good that this is coming forward.
Someone will tell me in a minute that it's okay.
Just quickly going to the scrutineering, everybody has this sort of idea that scrutineering wasn't happening. It was happening.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many other ways of us doing it. So it's just like, come on, guys. Even I seeing it as like not even as an official, but like seeing it as a team owner, like, scrutineering was happening elsewhere. They scrutineer you. You know, there was times when you weren't allowed out your car. So you would finish the race, you'd come in, you were not allowed out of that car. It was up to the clerk of the course and the scrutineers at that time to make that decision if they were comfortable letting people out of the cars. So you could get out, stand by your driver's door, but you have to have your balaclava and your helmet on, which obviously I know is very uncomfortable. And you guys can probably contest to this after a 20-minute race. You just want it off. Or you stayed in your car and you could take that off and the scrutineers would go around and check your cars. So it was still happening, but I liked the fact that there was the electronic system, as Jonathan said, to make you take ownership a bit more, sort of make it a little bit more efficient. It's the best way of putting it. It makes everything a bit more efficient, makes it run better.
Yeah, sorry. The only thing is, Maxine's made a couple of good points here, Lindsay. I'll put these comments to you. Mm-hmm. The scrutineers look at the safety of the cars, etc., and, you know, a new build. I wouldn't want to be tearing around the track with a potentially unsafe car beside me. And it's not all about our own cars, it's knowing that the other cars that you're racing door to door with are safe. Yeah. I get that as well, but should it be a case? I mean, like you said as well, Lindsay, I got checked at Brands. I did one round last year. I got checked going up to the assembly area, and it was your rain light, and it was all done outside the car. I stayed in the car, and it was rain light, brake lights, headlights. Looked at your pin. He looked at the stamp because he could see down into my passenger footwell that it was done. So it was going on, and I think there were spot checks being carried out.
Yeah. So before and after the event, so when you go into the assembly area, some officials will go around, either myself. I mean, obviously, I'm not really speaking from the BRCC's point of view, but just as a comment, I do it myself, and the team around you do it. The scrutineers are going around. They check things on the tyres, making sure they are correct. They do everything. They can do a lot more than you think. And obviously, they're trained professionals. They go through specialised training to know what they're looking for. And they tend to have years and years of experience. So you're not really going to get away with anything. And then after the event, I mean, you pull in 1, 2, and 3, and then you pick a random selection of cars that you go, hang on a second, you weren't going that fast in your last two races. Let's pull you in and get it checked. Yeah. So drivers stay in the car, or some scrutineers, can you please get out your car, sir? Come pop the bonnet, open it up, stand back, and then they go in and have a look. So you weren't really, it wasn't really that different. It was just before the racing that was slightly different. So it just made it, as I say, a little bit swifter. And surely drivers like that. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. So if we could all vote now with the six of us, would you keep the electronic sign-in and scrutineering going forward?
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah. On the comments,
Also,
the driver's briefing. being able to sit and do it on your phone at your own leisurely time, that that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
That was amazing because it means I didn't have to get up at 5 a.m. to chase everybody.
And again, but that, you know, that's another prime example, Lindsay. That makes your weekend better because you can use your time to A, have a lie in, and B, concentrate on other shit.
Exactly. Because my lie in, I have a toddler. I have no lie in. So going to a race event and getting to sleep till six, oh, hallelujah, bring them back quicker.
Fantastic. There we go. So again, the comments are out of this world, guys. We've got a good show tonight. There's a lot of people. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is why we're doing this. Craig Abbott, with the new way, scrutineers can pull competitors from random chat. And I think that's how it should be done. You can almost, like, the way you two do the draws, Nick, you can almost put the competitors' numbers into a computer and go, bang, right, pull this car, and this car. Don't care what it is, it just pulls your number. And they can check your safety gear. Right, we're going to pull this car, this car, and this car. We're going to do a quick eligibility check on that. It's more efficient. And again, it brings club motorsport certainly into a new age. And it kind of helps the scrutineers out as well, because I'm sure they don't like rushing around as much as they do on a Saturday morning, chasing us round, when in reality, all we want to do is go racing. All they want to do is make sure we can go racing smoothly. More the merrier.
Hey, there's one thing I don't miss. How often do you miss the whole racers scrutineering race that goes on before any race? It's like, I'm looking for the scrutineer. The scrutineer is looking for you. And you're just doing this for the entire morning. I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all.
There we go. Back to the comments. Seriously, they keep coming. Dan Willars, it is about your own car. As if I am racing against you, I don't know for certain if yours is safe either. So we will have to take responsibility for our cars at the safe of our competitors. What's happened to him?
He stood up.
He wanted to show his pants.
Showing his pants, a little cheeky slap, and he's left.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the end of that show. Now we're being taken off the air. Thank you for...
No, it's okay.
Stay.
It's just gone 9 o'clock. Isn't it? That's why I'm doing it.
Oh, it's just gone 9 o'clock. It's gone past. And welcome to Babe Station with Club Racing UK, featuring Nick Holmes.
And he's back in the room.
He's back in the room.
The podcast will be banned now.
Am I allowed to tell a story about the olden days of scrutineering with my dad?
Go on. Do it.
So when they had the A40, it had in the 64, 65, they had a problem with the wheel bearings. And basically this one scrutineer decided that he was going at them every time. So what they used to do, he used to walk up to the car and grab hold of the wheel to do the wheel bearings. But they all used to run around the other side and lean on the car and push it over so he couldn't move the wheel. That was the story.
Nice. See, they're the legendary days.
I forget the guy's name, but they actually, like, it was like you were frightened of a scrutineer. If you speak to my dad, like, they, you know, they went through the car. If you weren't doing it right, you were out. And there was none of this, like, is now negotiation, what's legal and not legal. And he goes mad, my dad. You know what I mean? When you come from a period of racing, he calls it the golden age, it's just not like it was. But scrutineering needs to be far tougher in my mind.
Yeah.
I agree, actually. I like scrutineering to become tougher. More hardship on it.
Yeah.
Car's not legal, out. You know, if you turn up to a championship and it says you can't change the crank, and you turn up and you've changed the crank, say, people do it. It happens, allegedly. But they don't get slung out because they're all frightened. You need the grid numbers. This is the problem nowadays, is everyone's clambering for grid numbers. And you need the cars. You know what I mean? You need people to turn up and pay the money.
But it's not just, as you say, like changing the car to improve performance. It's like when they add the rules of you must run a data logger, you must run a forward-facing camera, and all these things, and then some people don't run them. So you've gone out and spent thousands of pounds on all the equipment to use, and then halfway through the season you find out, they haven't been running it all season, so what was the point of me spending that?
Yeah. And to be fair, those issues you raise then, Stefan, I have a feeling who it was about, but those rules were brought in to help the clerks so that if they got into an incident, It would help. You could look back, you know, potentially that could exonerate them from an incident.
Yeah. So I think every car should have a front and a rear facing camera. That's just my personal opinion. Every car should have one.
I think Nick should ban from having cameras after what he put out yesterday.
Lindsay, I totally agree with front facing cameras and rear facing cameras. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who wants one, wired GoPro remote.
There's the plug, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have a race car that needs driving this year,
Tom, you can send us a 20 quid later, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I can actually vouch they really do work, but we had to adjust them. So they just need little tweaks.
Oh,
fair enough.
Tom to comment.
Right. How are your comments, Stefan? Because I've got loads.
Keep them coming.
There we go. Andy Wilson, your phone is both a camera and a data logger. Yeah. Martin Smith, in the 90s. Yes.
But you're not allowed to use your phone anymore.
No. Martin Smith, in the 90s, my teammate scrutinized my helmet at every race of the championship one year. His may or may not have been out of date. So scrutineering was never all that. Yeah, I get that. Chris Mayhew put, scrutineering is still very important. I did 6 races last year, and if you wanted, you could fudge a lot of important areas of safety. I didn't get pulled once. It may be more efficient and easier for drivers, but will the spot checks happen? I mean, they are. There's always going to be potentially, I believe, a rare case where one will go through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be...
Of course, human nature.
I mean, John, you said there about the silly things like the wheel bearings. Even if you're doing a physical up-close scrutineering inspection, you are going to try and work... If you want to try and fiddle the system, you're going to try and do it, whether it's in-person scrutineering or online with the random spot checks.
100%.
I don't understand. It's your safety, it's your life, and it's your colleagues around you's life. Why? I can't understand why anybody would want to. I understand cost-wise, but if you can't afford it, then unfortunately it's not the industry for you, and that's just cutthroat.
Yeah, but like I said earlier, it's human nature to push your luck, isn't it? If you can get away with some gloves that are a little bit ropey, I ain't going to catch fire. Chances are you could.
Yeah. It's just my morals. I couldn't do it knowing I can take my own life into my own hands, but my friend next to me, no.
I saw Rod Burley's escort after he'd had the big smash at Brands, and we won't talk about it, but his seat was quite old, if you put it that way, because, you know, it was probably the original seat of the car, and he physically broke the back of the seat in half and went over the back of it. And, you know, so like when people say about 5-year-old seats, it's so important. Seat belts, they stretch, you know, they can stretch 2 inches after an accident. Why would you just get rid of them? And it's, as Lindsay said, it's so expensive to go racing. And unfortunately, that's what it costs. And you can't scrimp on safety. It's just one of those things.
Okay. Question to everybody watching as well. How many times have you dropped or banged your helmet and replaced it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Good question.
Is this before or after? Is this before or after racing?
I'll throw mine in the car.
Definitely got to bash your helmet after racing.
Yeah. Oh,
got a
load
of the time.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to put that one out there for Nick. I just had to dangle the carrot.
Couldn't resist.
Rob threw the ball. I just hit it.
Out of the park. Martin Smith quite rightly puts, you can get some nice new lovely HRX gloves, Nick. Get the plug in. Well, I'll do it first because I've got a nice HRX suit there, and I will be planning soon to get some beautiful HRX Nomex glove with that. Don't scrimp on racewear, folks. HRX.
And use code CRUK20 or my supercars code
MSC21. I think you're that right, Alan. I think that's right. 21.
Pescara Productions, okay. Having seen at least 2 drivers last year emerge from cars on fire themselves, bloody hell. It's baffling that people cut corners on safety, because even in some rare circumstances, the best safety is tested to its limits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's made to a certain standard, people. It's not just because they look good, it's they do a job.
There we go. So we've covered scrutineering and stuff to absolute death. So we're looking at the social gathering bit. So we're hoping in June, obviously Reading and Leeds are going ahead this year. So we're looking at having the club barbecues back and loads of people round the paddocks and the masks being off. And us being at the track with a live Club Racing UK podcast from a race meeting, TBD. So I think definitely. That's the part that I think that mainly is the part that everyone is looking to welcome back with open arms on its return.
Yeah.
And importantly as well, spectators.
Yeah. Yay. That would be amazing.
Another one of the campaigns we will be running this year, getting the spectators back to Club Racing.
It will be.
Subject to the criteria being hit, of course. It's supposed to be June, isn't it? And that's subject to all the criteria being hit.
Yeah. Once again, the celebrity comes in with the sensible head on there. Yes. Obviously, if the roadmap can only go as well as it can go, if the vaccinations are working, which it appears they are, and people are actually listening to what the scientists are saying, sod the government, listen to the science, we're on to a winner.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, so that's kind of what changed. There's a bit of an elephant in the room at the moment. You've probably seen on social media, and this does affect a lot of us. Price rises. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a picture to put up here. If we can just pop that up for us.
I can get a drink whilst you do that.
Okay.
Oh, I see. He's avoiding this one. Oh, wow.
Okay. So basically, what this is, people. Pretty this fair. Is a letter. This was a letter that was sent to Javelin from Mr. Palmer. The prices are going up. Hopefully only for this year. But can you guys see in the imminent future the cost of racing and track days and just generally motorsport going up quite sharply to try and recoup COVID losses?
Yes.
I can.
Great.
This is going to have a 5 to 10 year knock on. This is easy.
Okay. Why? Why and how?
If you've got a reduced grids, which potentially you could have, then
you take the letter down, by the way, Elaine.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, if you've got reduced grids, then the cost of that grid has got to be spread over less people. So straight away you've got that cost. You know, I was looking at testing the other day, and I noticed already the garages have gone from £99 if you test to £115. And it always annoyed me paying £99 for a garage when I used to turn up, and there'd be about 13 empty garages and no one paying for anything. So,
why is a garage £100 on a test day and £15 on a track day?
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'm not being funny. It's a test day is for, well, if it's open testing, which you have to do if you want to improve your car, a normal test day is like 30 minute slots times four a day, and that's, I don't know, £300-400 a day. And and then you've got a garage on top of it, and it goes on and on and on, really. So the answer is don't go testing.
No. That's why people book track days.
I went testing last year and destroyed it. Was right at the end, and I thought the car was fantastic, it'd never been quicker. And we did the engine, the gearbox, the clutch, all in one go, yeah? And I thought, I wish I'd never gone testing. So this year, I'm not doing it.
Okay. So Lindsay, I'm coming to you now, as I know you're not, like, higher up, but can you see, obviously, the circuit hires are going to get a lot higher. So the entry fees are going to get a lot higher. So can you actually see that there will be a potential drop in numbers altogether of any championships?
Just in... like a common sense sort of thing, I can't see there being a dramatic drop in numbers, because so many people have been so patient and wanting to come back out, and so many people have used last year were not being able to go on holidays or do things. They've put it more towards doing something as once in a lifetime, like going racing. So to be honest, the numbers are still there, if I'm correct in saying, touch wood. But realistically, the prices have been going up steadily every year anyway. I don't think, because of COVID, they're going to jump up. I don't think there's going to be that massive increase that everyone's expecting. Because realistically, last year they were dropped quite dramatically. But that was also a reflection of there was no hospitality being able, there was obviously less track time. You know, it reflects in it. But this year, we're trying to go back to normal. I really don't, I think the prices will be normalised. I can't foresee there being a big jump. There might be pennies more, I'd guess. But that's because insurances have gone up. The pollution charges that you have to pay have gone up. You know, it's not the little things of, oh, we pay 400 quid to go racing. God, it's 400 quid. No, actually, that 400 quid then has to pay for everything that you never see in the background. Like paying for the actual circuit to be open, security guards, as I say, the pollution fees, the economic effect. Yeah, there's so many things that people don't realise. But as I say, I can't see there being a huge jump. But that's my personal... The thing is,
clubs have to be careful here because they can't go hiking the prices up, I don't know, 50, 30, 50, 40%, what have you, because that will make people just go, sod this, I'll go and find
And then they're just going to be out of business faster.
Exactly. So you've got to, it's a fine line. I certainly don't envy anyone who's organising that. But as we saw last year, how surprised were we? For instance, so we'll take MSV's first weekend back in July for the Snetterton 12-hour. How surprised were we by the amount of cars that were there as soon as we come out of lockdown?
Massively. There I didn't think there would be as many.
So many people eager to go racing. And we know people have sat out 2020 to make sure that 2021 is 2021, 2022 going forward is a year they can put a full season together. So I genuinely think we're going to see mental race numbers this year.
I personally think it's going to be huge. I think so many people are going to be wanting to get out back there. And I think people are wanting that maybe haven't done things sort of in the past few years have went, actually, do you know what? Yeah, life's short. Let's get back out there, which would be amazing.
Yeah. And in a way, hopefully, maybe that would reflect in the cost dropping even. Because if you've got 40 cars on every grid, it's all serious. If you can pack the grids out, granted, I know some championships who are struggling with low numbers, we've covered it before, will probably diminish and disappear. But the grids that are doing really well, who knows? Price freezes, drops maybe, who knows?
But we haven't really seen the impact, financial impact of where we are. And if you look at it now, we've got 4.5 million people sitting on furlough, and sooner or later, 1.5 million people come off of it. And, you know, let's be honest, the people who go racing, they're business owners. I don't know, you know, I won't comment on what you lot do, but you might spend all your money. But, you know, it might be a situation that the financial climate, it dictates that. Like, I'll go back in the 90s, the last big recession, probably 94. You know, we were going motor racing. It was fantastic. Had them all over the country, historic saloons. And then one day the recession came and people stopped buying Chinese food. And that way we never sold a cooker and it impacted, the business was done. And I don't want to be doom and gloom about it, but there is that part of it that you've got to look at. But some people seem to be doing very, very well in this climate. And that's what I can't work out is, you know, 50% are in trouble and 50% seem to be making a fortune. Yeah. So who knows? Let's hope it's the good way.
I get that. But generally, the one thing that I found as well, because obviously you remember when the GFC happened in 2009, places like the British Touring Cars and its support series kind of faltered, the numbers dropped, but club racing kept going. So to me, that tells me that no matter what's going on economically, the working man will still try and go racing. But the problem is... But you know what I mean? The working people will still try and go racing. My frustration is, if the prices just keep creeping and creeping and creeping and creeping and going, eventually you're going to start to see people going, you know what, I just cannot physically afford to do this and just drop off. Whereas the rich man, if he's going out and doing it with the British Touring, I can't afford that second. I'll pull out the British Touring cars. Well, that doesn't affect it as much. But if you lose 40 license holders one year because they can't afford to go club racing, and then you lose another 40, and then you lose another 40, and it starts to steamroll. It has to come to a head. And Patrick Seal puts it here. We've discussed this with spectators. Lower the cost, you'll get more people. more people can potentially equal more revenue. Volume versus margin is always tough to balance for any business, but hiking prices will not be the way to generate more revenue.
Mm-hmm.
He's spot on, because there's secondary spend and more people, your secondary spend goes through the roof. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you go to a racetrack for a day as a spectator and you pay, let's say you pay 50 quid for a ticket, you're going to be watching the pennies whilst you're there. You spent a fiver or a tenner, you're going to go have a nice bit of lunch, you're going to have a beer or something there, aren't you? You're going to have two or three cups of tea or something. You're going to spend that money. You know, you're going to spend 50 quid on a ticket.
Aye.
Or you're going to spend 50.
You're going to spend £9.50 on a terrible bacon sarnie.
Oh, somebody's been burned.
Yeah, his bacon. His bacon got burnt. That's why he's so horrid about it.
I don't know. For the record, there is no way any bacon gets burnt at any racetrack in the UK.
Yeah.
It's still oinked when it's in the roll.
And Andy Wilson, spot on. Andy Wilson, MSUK are losing a lot more than 40 license holders a year. And they have Motorsport UK have said themselves they are losing license holders. Oh, how can we get them back? Well, they want people to start going sprinting and auto solos and stuff like that. But as well as that, you need to keep people that are currently still in the sport going. Because at the end of the day...
Well, I know.
We're the backbone of everything that's higher. So if we go, then potentially the high is not going to be.
Yeah, Lindsay, great. You know, we're the backbone. I mean, it's little things like, you know, Jonathan, you're what, the third generation of your family that are going racing? So yeah. That's a constant license holder. It's little things. My three-year-old niece looks at my race car and goes, race car. If she comes to me one day and goes, Uncle Robert, will you build me a race car? You're goddamn right I'm going to. Oh, and I'm going to get
definitely
going to
have a toddler that wants to race.
You know, if one of Nick's kids came up to him and said, Dad, I want to race, he'll go, damn right, I'll build you a race car. It's never, never. Actually, you know what I mean?
If you take me as an example, my family did the opposite because they knew exactly how much motor racing was and they did everything to discourage me from going into racing. My mum absolutely hates it because she knows what it costs and what you can spend on it. My grandfather spent a fortune on it. And, It's just a bottomless pit. And when you get into it, like I question at the start of every year, do I want to do it? Do I want to spend the money? Or do I want to go to a beautiful holiday with my family, you know, three times a year instead of going racing? And this year, it might be the last year. I only go racing because I spend quality time with my dad and my friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I enjoy it. You know, someone drives my car for me most of the time. It doesn't bother me whether I'm in it or not. I get more satisfaction seeing it going across the line first. But it's... I watched about a month ago and I nearly commented and I nearly said, we'll let Stefan have a go. Yeah? But it definitely wasn't you, Nick. It definitely wasn't you 100%. But quite honestly, I have people want to drive it all the time and it's just too expensive to let anyone drive the bloody thing. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Like, coming from we started out by, like, I mean, God, I've been in this almost 6 years and we've changed everything. We started out by just being turning up in our car with a race car on the back and sleeping in the boot of the car, you know, and now it's like, yes, come on, we can build this. So we've gone from racing to like learning other people to race and how to support themselves, and that's incredible. And thank God we have a paddock that is so supportive and so amazing to be able to do that. But yeah, I just going back to the main point of all of this, I do not envy the people who have to work out the pricing and the costs of every single penny, because even just doing it for my race car was something else.
I know,
doing it for everything else. Woo, I do not envy Paul in the slightest, but he is amazing at what he does.
The one thing I'll say from point of view, championship point of view, I know CMMC are possibly doing it this year, John. You'll be able to quote me on this. Modified Fords, okay? So with the amount of entries, you pay a deposit and you go, right, I intend to race that round. And they go, right, we've got 40 deposits, so your entry fee is going to cost this much. The higher the entries, the less the entry fee. That is a cost-effective way of doing it. It's a very low registration side.
I think it's the best way of doing it, because ultimately the trouble is that you've got companies who are businesses running it, and you know, I mean, CSCC is a business and is extremely successful with it. But then you've got people who are volunteers, and I know Kelly was on here and Rod's probably watching, and they put their heart and soul into it, don't make any money from it. And, you know, and I looked the other day, I was talking about it, I think it's £15,000 for a race for the Grand Prix circuit at Brands. And if you don't fill all, I think it's 40, 45 cars, you've lost money, you know. So it's a hard game at the moment. And, you know, doing it, I don't envy anyone who has to organise it properly. And, yeah, hard work.
Yeah, I imagine more comments. You can imagine they are absolutely flooding in. Mario Neofitu, money doesn't disappear. It just moves around. Someone will have it and then they won't and then someone else will. Yeah, I get that. I mean, the problem is you don't want that money to leave club racing. You don't want it to leave motorsport. As we'll come to with my next rant.
It won't.
I mean, Close Racing says, don't tell Lindsay how much it costs.
I know how much it costs. I do the banks.
I think the money's jumped to historic sport, motorsport. That's where it's gone.
Man math, eh, mate?
But I'll be honest, sitting here now, guys, we all take the piss out of my splitter. We take the piss out of Steph's Mini for being girly or whatever, Nick's Vectra and stuff like that. But have you guys ever actually sat there and worked out in your head, even the little costs, even if the battery's gone flat by another battery, bolts, nuts, clips, brackets, fuel, stuff like that.
I've actually worked that out. It's not pretty.
I sat there the other day, I don't have credit cards or anything, so it's overtime that did a lot of the bill. But I kind of worked out that my focus since I left the 05s and I've raced it once has probably cost me best part of 15 to 20 grand. So it's a lot of money.
I can steer you in the direction of a few cheaper
expensive race that.
Rule 101 for anyone looking to go racing, buy a race-proven, already-built car.
Yeah.
Ride and drive. There you go.
Yeah, ride and drive, race-built car. But
I was told that when I first started, and I was like, now I can build cheaper than that. No, you can't.
No, you can't. You can't.
I set up a business just for racing, so I accounted for every penny I spent for the last 2 years, and it's horrendous. And it opened my eyes really to what I was doing. But you get so much enjoyment out of me, and it's not just me who gets the enjoyment. It's like 20 people will come with me, and they love it. But it's all on my back. But ultimately, it depends. The other thing is that if you want to run at the front of a grid, It's a weapons race. Do you know what I mean? Like when you come to the CMMC, there's some really, really quick cars at the front, you know, like Chris Whiteman, Dan Fisher, you know, they're good drivers and their lap times are excellent. And you've got to really raise your game to beat these guys. And quite often you get beaten. And so if you run mid grid, you can play, you know, you can run on old tires and not worry. They've still got a bit of tread left on them. But, you know, some of the Caterham guys, they're throwing Kumho tires away as they're half worn because they lose half a second a lap, and that's the same with any tin top. So it's it's really all about what budget you want to do, where you want to be on the grid, and it's hard, a lot of money.
Yeah,
and again, it's finding the championship that your car will be effectively most competitive in for the money that you're putting into it. I mean, again, why this year I'm going with a power to weight ratio championship because I feel that'd be the best. You know, that's probably why you picked it for the mini, Stefan. I'm sure you and Matt had the conversation. Where do you want to go? We're going to do this.
Yeah, power to weight, and because we can share the drive.
Yeah, and you know, John, CMMC, it's your local place. Still a lot cheaper in terms of you're not travelling all over the place.
I'm doing every championship that comes to Brands this year. That's the aim. Yeah. Like really.
Okay.
But I couldn't do it. Like my engine partner is born HPP. Couldn't do it without him doing it. I run his development engines basically. He builds an engine, he puts it in my car. And Boss Racing go along and basically at the beginning of every year they set my car up and we go in there and Rob and he does all the caterings, all the quick stuff. And you know, I mean they're fantastic. But without people like that supporting me, I couldn't do it. Because, you know, I mean, I run out of a double garage. I've got no filter, no motorhome. I put all my money in the car. And that's the advice I give to everyone. Forget if anyone turns up in a motorhome and a rubbish car, swap them over. And, you know, I have a truck and a trailer, and that's it. And even the trailer was stolen last year. So I've not even got a trailer now. I'll borrow that. So it's all about the car, really. But, it's a bloody nightmare, you know.
No, I mean, Patrick Seal, fair play. He's got me there. He said 15 grand and your splitter came off. Well, I broke it off. That's the main bit. But like you said, Lindsay, my first 05 season, me and the other half, we were at Snetterton in a pop-up tent with the car, and we took, it was literally a Ford Mondeo, a load of tools in the boot. I towed the car up there. She took her little hatchback with a load of other bits in there, and it was just me and her for that weekend. And I'm sure, God bless her, she probably wanted to be on a sunny beach having a holiday somewhere, but she supported me going racing instead.
Do you know, it's crazy, isn't it? Having that support system with you, it just makes the world of a difference. Like, I was going to mention before about, like, you know, the everyday racer that comes in. And, like, the hospitality finally coming back this year. Last year, it was really awful because, like, people were turning up by themselves with no support system. And they just, they had nobody to speak to. They couldn't, like, chill with somebody after the day was done, in essence. And it was really hard for them. So I'm hoping this year we can get those back and we can, like, bring the people more into the pod and be like, oh, hi, are you not with anybody? Come stay an hour awning. Because I've been there. I've been that person that had to literally stand out in the rain because I forgot my bloody umbrella and didn't have a hood or a hat. And, you know, you spend the whole weekend wet from Friday to Sunday. It's awful. You sleep in the boot of an A5. I once went because I dropped my husband off working at Silverstone, and I had a drive to Rockingham and spend the weekend by myself running the championship. And I took a pop-up tent and it rained, and it turns out pop-up tents aren't waterproof. So thank God I had really nice people in the paddock, and shout out to Brian, he'll know who he is, who lent me his actual bed in these car bivvies truck. Oh, bless him, he had Lightning McQueen bedspread, but I'm going off the subject. it was we can bring it back. I really hope we can sort of do more, because it's so hard when you're at the beginning. I remember going, right, Mike, we're going to make this a thing, and we would choose between heating in the winter or do we buy the new tyres? You know, it's that sort of budget. And after 6 years, we've grown to the point where we have an awning. Yes, we have an awning, and we have a terrible, terrible broken down Sprinter, which used to be ex-ambulance, just to stand somewhere and be dry for the weekend. So I know how hard it is, but if we all kind of just remember those times and we're all working towards something, it'll be much easier this year, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Hopefully, that's, again, we've gone off a tangent and just talked about the cost of racing in general. But that is one of the subjects that we're going to debate about at length, on how we can get the cost down in racing at a later time. So, again, we're going to get everyone involved with that. Stefan, go ahead, mate.
What is Ian drinking?
I was just about to ask the same question.
Ask white wine.
White wine. Mr. La-di-da.
There we go.
What's wrong with that? Wine? You're drinking wine.
Yeah, there we go.
You need to stick your pinky out.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, it's from Lidl.
Oh.
There's me thinking somebody was doing well.
Yeah. So the final question, the final question for the six of us: do you believe in the next 5 years the cost of racing will go up further as a result of COVID? Yes or no? I'll start with Nick and Lindsay. Nick says yes. Right, one of each. Stefan?
Yeah.
Ian?
I think it'll naturally go up due to inflation, but I mean, prices will go up in 5 years. That's inevitable. Yeah.
John?
Whoa. Yes.
There we go. So it's in that case, I think it's something that we need to, I wouldn't say fight. I hate to use the word fight, because at the end of the day, we want to do something for the benefit of all, whether it's bodies and everyone. We like love, not hate. So
the thing is, you only have to look at history to see how money has just increased all the time. Just naturally. Inflation plus.
The amount people spend on their cars hasn't changed through history. People always spend fortunes on cars. You know, I've got bills and receipts going back to 65. And it's just an expensive sport. And you spend as much as you want to spend, you know. And but from the point of view of cost of the tracks, you know, I mean, Brands Hatch could be a housing estate in 10 years' time for all we know it. I think they tried a while ago. Yep. And so you've got to keep supporting these tracks, otherwise they're going to go.
We don't want another Rockingham, do we?
No, definitely not. Big car park. It's a joke.
It is. And it's not even a decent car park. It's just being laid to waste. It's absolute disgrace. But again, Rockingham is also going to be...
On a lighter note, the grandstands are still standing.
I think they've taken them down.
No, I think they're still there.
They're falling down then.
Yeah. Well, they said they were going to fall down and they haven't. So
maybe Mr. Palmer putting these prices up for track days and stuff might be having a little sneaky bid.
Planning to buy.
We did.
Question for the guys watching. We should all buy Rockingham Raceway. What do we reckon?
No.
Why?
What?
But bottomless pit again. The funny thing is, I looked at MSVR's accounts before I come on here tonight, and they weren't bad for 2019, and two people took a dividend north of £10 million. So it's not, it's not black and white. You've got to look at their accounts this year to really get a picture of where it's gone. But, you know, staff are on furlough. And if you look at it now, racing stops at Brands. Track days, everything stops at Brands for a period of time anyway. I know my dad, he lives there, and all of a sudden he can't go there for 3 months because it's shut. So, you know, I mean, if you look at a lot of this lockdown three, were they going to be open anyway?
Yeah. Well,
there we go.
I think we've made the point. We've made the point before, though, haven't we? Like, circuits have to, in the 6 months that they operate, have to make 12 months worth of revenue for the time they're closed. They have to cover when they're open. So,
but they never had track days. If you look at track days, they're every day. If they're not racing, there's a track day going on. They never had that revenue 10 years ago. You know, it's a boom time, really, from a point of view of that. And it's not a cheap thing. You know, I mean, you never see a track day that isn't mobbed out now.
No.
There we go.
No, not
perhaps that's why we've got the problem with club racing. It's because everyone's doing track days instead of coming club racing.
Yeah, yeah, but how many track day enthusiasts do you see going, oh, I do track days because I can't afford to go racing? He says of his 25 grand BMW M3, and he does 40 track days a year, but I can't afford to go racing. Nope, can't afford it.
I do 3 laps on the track down, I'm bored and I come in.
Track day in our little KA and we school some bloody supercars. Come on, track day enthusiast. Come on.
That was quite funny to watch. That was really, really funny to watch.
Ridiculous. Actually, no. People, keep doing track days because you can think you can drive fast, but until you've been overtaken by some bearded idiot in a KA, you ain't fast, mate.
That's the best moments on track days is when, you see the little cars fly past, the big ones, and I'm like, really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, right.
How's the comments looking? We've not been to the comments for a while.
That's just what I was just coming back to because they're still flooding in, guys. What? It's going mental. Stu Waite, # save Rockingham. It should have been saved a long time ago. It's my belief the government should have stepped in. I'm so angry about that still. Yeah. Right. Pescara Productions, the Club Racing UK Rockingham Motor Speedway.
I like that idea.
Patrick Seal, inflation is just a fact of life and we have to accept it. Yep, completely agree with that. We need to attract people/spectators back to the trackside. We're going to try and do that this year in a campaign.
We're going to do that.
It's the only way to keep the track cost and therefore entry fees down. This will also help to make sponsorship easier to a degree. Mario Neofitu. Oh, he thinks Rockingham's a shithole.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It is an absolute shithole in the arsehole of nowhere.
But it was a great track.
It was a great track.
The only great thing about Rockingham was literally that you could stand on top of the pit, on top of the garages, and see the entire track.
No restrictions, no nothing.
It was a wicked track, but it was, the facilities were grey. It was shit.
The fact that race control was like 2 miles away. Oh my God. Never again.
Oh, it's over there. Over there.
I turned up and I was like, where's race control? And they were like, here's a pair of binoculars that they're there. And I was like, I've got to run there and back in between races.
Look, it's the track we all love to hate, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It is. It is. Sorry, Nick. Go on. I've unearthed some other comments, so I'm just reading through.
No, carry on. I was just going to say, it's just the track we love to hate, isn't it?
I have to apologise to Graham Crowhurst because he's commented. I found another page. He's commented loads of times. And because I haven't been monitoring that particular page, he hasn't got through. So, Graham, these are for you. So he put, I think there is a part of us racers that are jealous. These are generally comments from beginning to end of podcast. I think there are part of us racers that are jealous of people who are able to test, which is human nature. But I agreed that support racing are not elite sports people. It will also be bloody entertaining to watch the first race supports when nobody has tested. Good point.
Very good point.
Yeah. Graham Crowhurst also says regarding scrutineering, they should be done once at the beginning of the year, given the full once over, then random spot checks throughout the year. No, scrutineering has been so much better and I get a line on race days. Win-win. Again, I think that's agreed with the masses. Stu Waits, there will always be people who are dishonest about certain things in self-scrutineering or to avoid replacing something costing money, and that could potentially be a safety issue that puts others at risk on track with an unsafe car. If the incident then happens, that's when you need to get the penalties and be firm. You know?
Yeah. But, if there is... right, just in day-to-day life, right? Just bring it back to day-to-day life. Do you know that every person that you drive past on the motorway in the morning, are they taxed and insured on their car? Are their cars road
worthy? Have they checked the tyre pressures? MOT, when's the last time they checked the tyre pressures? About 10 years ago.
Exactly. Is there oil pluming out the back of a car? It's life. People will take the piss.
Yeah.
So you can only do so much. You can't expect miracles.
You'd like to think when you go and racing that people will actually... make sure the car's safe, because ultimately they're going on the limit when you're cruising around doing the shopping at 30 mile an hour.
Okay, Phil Neil, come on, Phil, sort yourself out. Phil, I'm not happy with this. I will be the first in line to take a bulldozer and flatten Rockingham. What is wrong with Rockingham? I love that circuit, it was great. Corby is not a nice place, but Rockingham was all right. Sorry to anyone living in Corby.
It's a racetrack. We need more of them, not less of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if they could just be ideally more north, that would be great.
Yes, so we'll also start another campaign to build more northern racetracks that serve only gravy in the canteen.
More on the south coast as well, please.
Or rather, just make sure Thruxton has not so many pissing limits. I mean, Jesus, a 90 decibels on a track day. You've got no chance. No chance.
You have a race around the M25 every year. I think for one day a year, just close the M25 and have a race around it.
The M25 ring.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
There we go. Pescara Productions.
I think our campaign needs to actually oik out the idiots that moan about track noise. If you've moved next to a racetrack recently, you're a cock.
yeah. If you move next to and airfields, I'll put airports in there as well, because it's the same in that industry. If you move next to a racetrack or an airport and then they go, oh, there's so much noise going on, that makes you a dickhead. Simple as. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and go, am I a dickhead? Yes, you are. You are. Yes. Now go away.
Simple.
And then move into the middle of the sea with lead boots.
The problem is, though, guys, in 30 years, it'll all be electric cars anyway, so you won't hear anything. No.
Jesus Christ, Ian.
10 years, yeah. 10 years.
I think it's still... We're not that far. Perhaps that's a discussion for one of your podcasts.
No, I'm not discussing that.
Well, on that note, I've just seen the time.
Captain
guys, we've
fun
been,
in the corner.
We have been at this for an hour and 45 minutes, so I thank you so much for that. But we must move on to the competitions now. So if we could just play the sexy video intro. No?
Probably four.
There you go. Right, before we have competitions, Nick had a point to make.
No, I was going to say, poor Elaine and Leon have probably fallen asleep because we've been ranting on too much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
No.
It's only because we got in on the show yesterday. We would have gone ages ago.
Hey, it doesn't matter that we've been on for 2 hours. This is what tonight was about, was it not?
Exactly that. There's no limit on tonight. This is a very important debate.
It is actually, and I just want to thank everyone that's tuned in and commented, because this has probably been one of our best engaged shows.
Rob, you've missed an entire section.
Which section was that?
The whole £6 million loan thing.
Oh, yes. Okay. Right, we'll come back to that after competitions.
Let's just do a competition now.
We'll do competitions first, because there is only one competition running at the moment. If you become a member of Club Racing UK, you pay your membership to Club Racing UK, and Nick and Steph go, hey, and you'll get entered into a draw to have £300 towards your race entry fee. Check out that sexy picture.
Yeah, because of the announcement, you could have £300 off your first race entry fee of the year.
There you go.
Because it ends end of March.
Right, okay, Steph, but... For everybody who's watching right now, including everybody in this little room here, who wants a free race on Club Racing UK? You do, don't you? Sign up as a Club Racing UK member and your first entry fee could be paid for by us lot.
Sorry, I've just seen a comment by Ben Rushworth. Good evening, Ben. I'm sorry, it really made me laugh.
God.
Electric club racing ain't happening. Have you seen the bum fights for a power outlet in the paddock?
That's brilliant.
That has made my night. That's, Ben Rushworth, you, my friend, are a legend. That was
comment cracking. Of the night. You need a prize from now on, Rob. Comment of the night. Win something.
Comment of the night.
I think going forward, we're going to need to. My last bit of a moan, they said earlier on about a grant. So this £6 million that was distributed to motorsport, first of all, it was a loan, not a grant. It wasn't being given. MSV and Bark actually confirmed that they weren't actually eligible for the £6 million funding for the government, purely because they weren't on the verge of going bankrupt.
Oh, wait.
Right.
I'm bankrupt. I was. Does that mean I get a £6 million loan?
But the bit, and this is where I'm going to get on my high horse now. For an industry that generates £10 billion to our economy per year and employs over 41,000 people, you would think that they would have the sort of thought in their head, okay, this sector is actually doing a lot for representing UK in the world of motorsport. The UK is one of the market leaders in motorsport. 7 of the Grand Prix teams are listed here. It could be more. I may have screwed that up. But that kind of says a lot. It's the fact that a vast majority of the World Rally Championship teams are powered by British gearboxes, engine technology. Again, teams. Formula E has got a lot of British technology into it. Can you see where I'm going here? So your thoughts on this, guys? Sorry, I'll stop ranting.
Can I start?
Go on.
Every one of those, BARC, BS, whatever you want to call them, they could all be their employees on furlough. Yeah. So the government's already paying for all of their employees to be on furlough. And ultimately, you know, what are they doing for the 3 months no one's racing, 4 months, 5 months? Yeah. So actually, they might have been doing nothing and now they're being put on furlough. And I don't think motorsport is an elite sport for the rich, if we're honest. Yeah. And that's how it's perceived with 99% of the people out there, and they're never going to get a grant, are they? You know, I mean, they're not going to go and give Sir Lewis Hamilton a grant. Or, you know, it's like, it's how it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just something great. When you see rugby union getting something silly like 140 million.
But rugby union will put money into schools so schools can, you know, give them all rugby balls, run around the pitch, everyone gets fit, we don't get COVID because we're all thin, yeah? So that's how that's perceived, yeah?
Right.
And football's the same. They'll go, football's in schools, whatever. What does motor racing do? Do they go down and take Formula One cars down to school and drive them around the car park? They don't. It's just literally something that, you know, not 20-year-olds, probably 30-year-olds start when they've decided they've finally earned enough money to go racing and that's it. And you're on the ladder.
Maybe the motorsport community should have been out there delivering kids their school lunches for the extra exposure.
Whatever they want
to
do.
But they did, to be fair. The vast majority of the motor racing community went into delivery vans to get them, you know. You look at how many drivers on various social medias took to work for the NHS key worker jobs.
How many motorsport engineering teams made ventilators, face masks, various other bits as well?
Yeah.
But Jonathan, I really like your point, you know, sort of about, so could you imagine taking a race car, even a club race, like taking your Honda down to a school or something? Could you imagine 100%. The kids? They would love it, wouldn't they? They'd be like, oh my God, this is incredible. I can't believe I've seen a real life race car, you know?
I think Michael Creese actually did that with his touring car. I think he turned up with the truck and everything to his kids' schools and got the car out the back and showed them, you know, what it was all about. But it's not a thing that you can involve kids in, is it? You know, I don't know how you make it work, really.
Well, I mean, to be honest,
it's
not as accessible, but we can make it accessible. I went and did engineering in secondary school. There was a scheme for it when I was in higher. So you can go through it that way. I was lucky enough. Stu Waite actually comments that the V8 supercar transaxles come from Newbury. It's actually Calthrop. It's X-Track. Now, I was at the school just down the road. I applied for an apprenticeship there, and we went and toured the facility there because we were the local secondary school. I loved it. So, you know, right in the middle of Motorsport Valley. So that's how schools can get involved, I believe. So
I should.
Not even that. Just as a completely different point of view here. Sorry, interrupting, Nick. Schools can get, younger kids can get involved. You can take the race car down, nothing on it. No stickers. I'm talking plain Jane here. Take it down. Here's a pen, kids. Draw on it. Or right, here's a copy of the schematics of the car. Design me a race car. Whichever one I like the best, I'm going to do exactly on the car.
So, but how many have? Is, you know what I mean? It's show and tell, isn't it? It's like,
I know that.
John, you might come out again.
I thought it gone quiet.
Sorry. Have you got a mute button?
I know of one team that are actively doing that, and that's Pip Hammond and Gavin from PDC Racing. They do that because they're now working alongside with the likes of RS, doing I think it's key skills stages, and they're heavily working with schools and kids. I think that's bloody brilliant. I think more people.
Well, we've tried to get our team into local schools. It's either that they don't have the facility to be able to have us there, or you know, there's so much red tape with the youngsters these days. It's mental. So. It's hard.
I suppose you're going to have a DBS check and God knows what else.
Yeah. But then Mario Miathitu, right? So he's he works sort of north, I think it's Hertz College, is it? Correct me if I'm wrong, Mario, but that 106 that he won the 05s with was road legal. He drove it back and forth to work, so he would show people that way. Yeah. Again, okay, amazing. Yeah, yawn, Rob drove a 2CV. I did that in college. There are college race teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so it Look is going into...
Look at Amelia, our ambassador this year.
That's not directly related to actually getting £1 million from BARC, is it?
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know what I mean? We can come around it. Like Motorsport UK, they've got enough money. They've got all their money already. You know, check their accounts out at the end of COVID and see how badly they actually did do. Go and look at MSVR, look at their accounts. If they've lost £10 million, then I'm going to feel sorry for them all. But if they've all broken even, in this financial climate, I tell you what, they all need to think they're very, very lucky.
Because I've
got a small business and I've lost probably £1,000 a month for 12 months. Yeah. And I've got no furlough money. I've had nothing at all. So when you look at it, I've got no sympathy for anyone.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
No, but it's good because that's why we got you on, because we knew your side of things. It's good.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, Pescara makes a point. Sadly, a football is much easier to bring in your backpack than a Fiesta Cup car. That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Very true.
But, you know, if your dad comes into the school park car park sideways in an M3 Cup car,
top man.
Legend. You know,
that is legend. You know, not only will you be swimming in poontang in the school, but you know, it's
what's a dad?
Oh no.
Well, unfortunately, you never got to find out.
We just opened up parts of Nick's childhood. On that note, I'm going to leave the last comment for tonight from Pescara Productions. Rebuild this Fiesta for us, kids. I found the parts at Paddock Hill Bend. There we go. Either way, I hope we've had a good chat about how things are tonight. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been one of the best episodes we've ever done. So, Lindsay Close, thank you so much. I wish you guys all the best this year with Close Racing. I wish you all the best in the various and vast BRSCC championships you're looking after. Jonathan Bevan, I hope to see you at some point at Brands Hatch so we can have a proper catch-up, meet in person and chat more crap about racing because we love it, don't we?
Indeed. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Ian Waterhouse, at some point we will see on probably Stars in the Rise, Big Brother, various other TV shows. Maybe I'm a celeb.
Well, I doubt it, but thank you. You got to be famous to do that, I think.
Exactly.
No, you don't. When was the last time you watched I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and there isn't a single fucking celebrity in there? Some dickhead from Towie is not a fucking celebrity.
Exactly.
Do not even get me fucking started on this one.
I don't think this show's going to get a very good rating on YouTube, by the way.
That's all right.
Fuck YouTube.
It's far too much swearing for YouTube to share this one.
Oh well, it's okay, guys. Because in about a week or so's time, this will be on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, and all good podcast outlets as an audio podcast. So we've introduced you and spoken with our guests tonight. We've had a great debate, and in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with the usual suspects. I've been Robert Lewis. The two people next to me have been Nick Holmes and Stefan Marsh of Club Racing UK. Thanks once again to Ian
Waterhouse.
Thanks once again to Ian Waterhouse, to Lindsay Close, to Jonathan Bevan. Nick showed his pants off, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Check your balls, everyone.